Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 195 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, we are going to tackle one of the tough questions that I get a lot, which is what happens when you end up with thinned skin from using topical steroids for a long period of time? Is it possible to reverse that damage? And I know that we have many folks listening who've gone through topical steroid withdrawal or maybe are at the beginning of their journey or somewhere in the middle, or people who maybe didn't get to TSW but have experienced thin skin and are wondering what they can do to possibly get the skin to essentially thicken back up. Well, today's guest is going to help us get a bit of an answer for you. It's not probably one you're going to love, but I do have some tips and suggestions first because I want to talk a little bit about collagen production because this is really the crux of the matter is that topical steroids actually help break down collagen. And that is why you see this decrease in skin thickness. And so, as you guys know, I talked about collagen and collagen supplementation in episode 184. So if you haven't tuned into that episode, I would highly recommend doing so either before this episode or just thereafter. That way you kind of have a better idea of what will and won't fly in terms of collagen, nutrition, etc., and whether collagen's even appropriate for you. Because remember, my histamine friends, when you've got a histamine overload picture, certain supplements are really problematic, and collagen is one of them. As you guys might recall, nutrients are required in order to make collagen. Your body makes it. It doesn't consume a supplement of collagen and then automatically you have collagen in your body. That's not how it works. It's that you consume the nutrients necessary and your body will reassemble the individual pieces into collagen should the environment be appropriate for the body to basically do so. And so that means you have to have a sufficient intake above your daily needs in order to do this, right? So the first thing is key amino acids. I talked about this in episode 184 of glycine, proline, hydroxyproline, and arginine. So you really need those four key amino acids, which are derived from protein, right? They're the building blocks of protein. Then we need two key minerals, specifically zinc and copper. And then lastly, we also need vitamin C, but I want to add a caveat. As I was doing some research, I also found that low vitamin A levels, and let's be honest, how often has anyone ever checked your vitamin A? And I do find vitamin A to be deficient in a lot of my clients, that a deficiency of vitamin A can actually cause collagen synthesis or production to drop. So vitamin A is also important, and it may be worthwhile to talk to your doctor about running a vitamin A serum value in order to know whether you actually have a sufficient amount. On the flip side, you want to do whatever you can to avoid certain things that could actually decrease collagen production. So if you're really working to boost this to hopefully help thicken up the skin, and again, that's sort of a fingers crossed type situation because I don't want to give anybody false hope, you really have to be careful. You know, anything that's going to cause free radical production to excess. So like smoking, for example, is not good. That can actually cause a major problem with collagen production. Too much UV light as well. So sitting out and baking yourself in the sun is also not a great idea. We certainly need sunlight, but too much can obviously be problematic. And then also, just from a dietary's perspective, higher intakes of sugar and really refined carbs are also problematic in terms of collagen production. For more nitty-gritty details on collagen and just like deep dive into collagen supplements, both the type that are derived from animal products and those that are vegan, head on over to episode 184 to check that out. For today, I think it's important that we dive into this conversation and get as clear of an answer as we can about whether it's possible to reverse thin skin from topical steroid use. My guest has been on the show before. His name is Dr. Hadar Levtov, and he's an assistant professor and the director of the Wound Healing Fellowship Program at the University of Miami Dr. Philip Frost Department of Dermatology and Cutaneous Surgery, the Miller School of Medicine. Dr. Levtov completed his residency at Albert Einstein College of Medicine and obtained a master's degree in clinical research from the University of California, Davis. Dr. Levtov's research interests include the treatment and prevention of chronic wounds such as venous leg ulcers and diabetic foot ulcers, as well as hidradenitis suppurativa. His work is supported in part by the Dermatology Foundation, NIH, and industry. Dr. Levtov is also the co-host of the popular Learn Skin podcast, and he specifically enjoys bringing an integrative approach to each of his patients. Thank you so much for joining us back on the show, Dr. Levtov. It's such an honor to have you here again.
It's my pleasure, Jennifer. And actually, you should know that I recently saw a patient who said, "I heard you on a podcast." And I said, "Oh, really? I have a podcast." And they said, no, but you were a guest. I said, "Oh, that podcast. That's awesome." So thank you. We did that one on hidradenitis suppurativa,
yes,
which I was very proud of, to increase knowledge about this. And hopefully someone is listening and we're able to learn something. So it's a great pleasure to be back. Thank you.
Oh, well, that is great to hear. I'm glad that we're, you know, I love that this can be a vehicle to help support people find helpful partners on their journey. And that's
exactly.
so important. So today we're going to dive into a topic that I actually get a lot of questions on. And to be honest, I don't fully know what to tell people. So let's say you've used topical steroids for years, and especially like you've used it on your face. Your skin starts to get thin.
Right.
Okay, so let's first say, why does this happen? Like, why does the skin get thin with topical steroid cream use?
Yeah, so I would like to take a step back for a second and highlight that the use of corticosteroids and topical corticosteroids specifically has been going on since the 50s. In fact, doctors won a Nobel Prize for this, and it's been saving lives systemically and also topically, really, for the first time in after a millennia, allowed dermatologists to treat really complex conditions. People with all kinds of types of eczema and psoriasis. And so more recently, there's a lot of fear of corticosteroids and even the topical one. And that fear, I think, got blown a little out of proportion. I mean, I think that there are certain risks, just like any medication that you use. And perhaps there's a lot of overuse of those because for some doctors, it's kind of hard to make a clinical diagnosis, especially if you weren't trained, right? If you're in primary care and your patient comes in. And they're very potent and effective. So they can take even a disease that's not necessarily what we call steroid responsive and then make it look good. So if you can treat an infection and mask it because it's such a potent immune suppressor. And so, you know, I think it kind of got bad rep. And one of the side effects you're mentioning is the thinning of the skin. But in reality, if used appropriately, those side effects can be avoided. So I really instruct my patients, first of all, follow your doctor's instruction, but especially in eczema and psoriasis, which is one of the more common uses of topical steroids, is if you are going to use it on the red, rough, itchy skin, use it on the diseased skin, try to avoid applying it to normal skin. And that's how you can avoid the side effects that we're talking about. Also, you know, you want to listen to your doctor if they say, you know, use kind of this kind of strength of topical steroid on that rash specifically, and it's going to work. Don't assume that now this will work on any other rash. And this is where problems start, right? So I'll give you an example. A patient has, let's say, some psoriasis or eczematous dermatitis, and they will apply this cream on their leg. And voila, it works. 2 weeks later, they're like, "Oh my gosh, this thing is gone and I'm very happy." Now they start getting acne on their face, just because people do. And they start using this topical steroid on their face. a big no-no. Okay. So now they start doing that, and all of a sudden their acne gets better because guess what? Very potent anti-inflammatory, right? And acne has a lot of inflammation. But then after a while, it starts to cause the side effect. And this is where we're getting to your questions about thinning. So topical corticosteroids and systemic corticosteroids have effect on the skin, causing thinning of the top layer of the skin called the epidermis. And then also they have that same effect on the deeper layer of the skin. So by and large, they can lead to atrophy there. So the overall net effect is thinning of the skin, and that shows all of a sudden blood vessels, for example. And you can tell immediately when a patient with psoriasis, for example, comes to see me and they've been treating with topical corticosteroids, I can kind of see that shiny skin on top that suggests that the epidermis is thin, that top layer. And I can tell already that I've been applying it. So if they do it as directed for a short period of time to the diseased skin, they're okay. But when you start applying it to skin that's already thin to begin with, like in on your face, or on the genitalia, this is where very quickly you can get into trouble. Or let's say in the armpits, right? The skin there is thin, and then you apply it in sort of under occlusion, which makes it penetrate even more. So the other thing is that many topical corticosteroids can penetrate very effectively into the skin, and that's where they're very useful. But then they can go and affect the deeper layers. So they can lead to thinning, and in extreme cases, also with systemic corticosteroids, can lead to these stretch marks, which is also all have to do with the reduction of growth there on these skin layers.
So when this happens, like say you're there, you're at that point where you're like, oh my goodness, my skin is so thin, I don't know what to do. Like, is it possible to actually reverse that?
Very tough. I'm going to say straight up. Yeah, very tough. All right. There are some side effects that there's other side effects to topical corticosteroids, that are reversible. Like you can get acne from that, or acne-like rashes, rosacea type rashes. So your face kind of red with bumps. So those kind of conditions, if you withdraw the steroids slowly and replace it with other anti-inflammatory, then you're okay. But once you get those thinning of the skin and even stretch marks, it's incredibly hard to change. I can tell you, one of my areas of interest is wounds, and I have a few patients that have been, for whatever reason, you know, they needed to be on long-term systemic steroids, and they get really bad stretch marks, so much so that they get wounds. The skin is so thin there, and it's a challenge, right? So I got to say, the best treatment is to avoid it. Now, let's say really you have this. There is some evidence that sometimes topical retinoids, people know these products, tretinoin and others, they can help to sometimes induce some growth of collagen, which is what we need for the deep layer of the skin. So they can induce some of that, and that can work. But nothing is perfect. There's some, for stretch marks, there's some lasers that can maybe help. But again, the effect is minimal. So this is really where prevention is key. And that's why I started with understanding how to use these medications, following your doctor's instruction, but also having some common sense understanding that, you know, they're very potent and they need to be used just exactly where they are. You know, It's like you can get a knife in your home, but you're not going to go do surgery on yourself just because you have a knife, right? So by the same token, if you have a potent medication in your home, you're not just going to start using it willy-nilly on stuff because it worked for something else.
And with this situation, like say you do have that thin skin, and we talked a lot in that previous episode, which I encourage everyone to listen to, because it wasn't just about HS. We also talked a lot about wound care, which I think is really important. So you mentioned that thinning of the skin can result in wounds.
Right.
That can show up. Is that from, I think from itching could be one way. So if you have nails and you're itching your skin, are there any steps people can take that could help protect the skin a little bit more? Or if they do have wounds, is that the time to go back to like someone like yourself, who's like a wound specialist, so to speak, to help make sure that it heals?
Yes. So for sure. So like we said, when you, the topical steroids and systemic steroids even more, they inhibit that collagen production. And that's a problem, because you need that to heal a wound. And they also also have an effect on the way that wounds heal from the top, the top of this skin layer, the keratinocytes or the epithelium, the kind of top closing of the wound. And so the first thing you have to do is stop it. And I got to say that a lot of times people come in and they are people who have, let's say, some connective tissue diseases like lupus or dermatomyositis.
Yeah.
And they can, you know, it's a very effective treatment for them. And they may be on very low doses, but nonetheless, those doses make a difference for them. And so you got to ask yourself, is there an alternative? That's the first step, is to withdraw the offending agent. And the good news is, and I want to highlight this, so when you go talk to your doctor, you should always ask about alternative, because nowadays, more and more, we have more alternatives. So we have topical calcineurin inhibitors, like topical tacrolimus, for example, is one of them. And more recently, we have something called crisaborole. The product name is known as Eucrisa. So those are new medications that are on the market that can potentially treat inflammatory conditions, but are not topical corticosteroids. And then if you do get to, so the first thing is withdraw the offensive drug and try to switch it with something that will maintain, you know, maintain your success with a steroid, but not cause the side effect. And then you're down to good old-fashioned wound care. And it really is going to depend on where the wound is and what needs to be done. But generally speaking, if you withdraw the offensive drug and you apply good wound care, slowly but surely these wounds heal. The challenge is with recurrence, right? So the skin is so thin that every little trauma can hurt. So you got to be careful with that. You can use protective dressings as well for areas of high friction. You can use a silicone. There's some silicone tapes that I like that are very good in protecting. You can use foams depending if the patient is, you know, can't move and have these areas. But by and large, I would say that my approach with the use of topical corticosteroids, and I think most dermatologists would agree, is if you have to use in the beginning some high potency topical steroid, very quickly reduce it as the inflammation is reduced, reduce it and then switch to a non-steroidal. And that's true both systemically and topically, right? So we have other alternative.
Wow, man, this is super interesting stuff. Yeah. I mean, I know that for someone who's in this boat there, they're like, I don't feel like this is interesting. I just want it to be fixed. But just listening to you talk about it clinically, at least for me as a little bit of a nerd, it is really interesting that we do have more options, but also looking at it from so many different perspectives. And I do appreciate, too, you reminding people that we do have to be careful with what we're putting on different areas, because higher potency steroids, like you said, that might work on your legs might not be a good idea for your face and other areas.
Right.
And that's where you should defer to your physician to make sure that you're using them appropriately and as little as possible, so you're not just like, it's an everyday thing for years.
Yeah, and be a smart consumer, right? So that's I guess the key message is, be a smart consumer. Don't be afraid of the product. Just understand how you can use it, and always ask your doctor. Okay, I'm going to use this, but what's my exit strategy, right?
Yeah.
Because now there are agents that can serve as your you know, parachute to get out of there. So so. When the listeners out there are thinking about, you know, they have rashes that are bad and they need the steroids to get good effect, you have to also remember, what can I do after? So the first few weeks I'm going to use it, it's going to be good. What is my exit strategy? And challenge your physician. Ask them, what do I do after this? What do we do to maintain the success? And we have good evidence in eczema, for example. There's good evidence that, you know, these kiddos, they get the rashes in the same areas all the time. So if you use a mid-potency topical steroid, right, they'll get good in about even about a week, right? And there's good evidence that if after that you just twice a week use an alternative, like a topical calcineurin inhibitor, sorry for the fancy name, but just a steroid alternative, if you sure. use it there twice a week, you can prevent those recurrences. And so not only are you avoiding the side effect of using a topical steroid on a skin that's already healed, you're not going to get the problem. You're going to prevent it. Mm. So challenge your doctors, and board certified dermatologists know this. They are the good people to go for. And if, you know, a lot of times there's a problem with access to specialty care, that's okay. Even if you get your one appointment there, your primary care doctor can take instructions later and help you. But but be a wise consumer when you talk to your doctor.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you for, I know we had a short time to talk about this, but I really appreciate the time that you've made. And I hope that we can have you back sometime and dive deeper into some of your specialties, because you definitely have such a great, unique perspective, and I deeply appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Jennifer. It's my pleasure. Anytime.
I'm so appreciative that Dr. Levtov was able to join us again for this particular episode. If you'd like to connect with Dr. Levtov or set up an appointment with him, you can actually find him by searching for the Dr. Philip Frost Department of Dermatology and Cutaneous Surgery. He's one of their faculty members, and that is actually the best way to reach him. He's also the co-host of the Learn Skin podcast. All of his contact information can be found, along with all of the other show notes for this particular episode, over at skinterrupt.com/195. There, you can also leave any questions, comments, or thoughts that you have so we can keep the conversation going. And if you know somebody who is struggling, and frankly, we all do, there are so many people in our skin community who are really struggling with thinned skin, I couldn't find any answers to this. So that's why I think this is a great episode to share with people you know personally, as well as with our community at large. And last but not least, the biggest favor of all that I always ask you guys for, if you haven't done so yet, make sure to rate and review the Healthy Skin Show, and then hit the subscribe button. That way you never miss a weekly episode sharing tips, hope, strategies, nutrition, research, and all sorts of wonderful information to help you on your skin journey. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.